You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:59 ESPN 97.5. Let's bring in Justin Allen. We've been talking about this. We've been talking about James, and excited to see James back on the court. And the guy that's been working with him is just trainer Justin Allen. Welcome in, Justin. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing great. So tell us about, we're hearing that James has lost 20 pounds. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. That's about in the range.
So what has he done?
It's quite 20, but he's lost quite a bit of weight and putting himself in great shape.
What's he done to do it, to lose that weight?
A lot of cardio, a lot of footwork. We've been doing a lot of football drills, working the light fibers, and quick twitch and foot placement and things of that such. Basically similar to a running back. A running back does a lot of quick twitch work. They got to play off instincts and that muscle memory. Creating that muscle memory with the footwork drills is a lot. It causes the body, causes you to lose weight really quick because it's high intensity. It's the heart rate up.
So Justin Allen joins us. He's owner. This is right here in Houston. He's the owner of All In Sports, as in Allen, All In. Very clever play on words here. And his brother is Dwayne Allen, NFL tight end. You train athletes. And I found this very interesting because James has, you know, the article that Kelly Iko wrote, and we've had these conversations for years about James. The greatness of James is a score, this, that, and the other. There's always been a question about, and you talked about in the article, you've heard some of these same things about his desire to buy in or his desire to put it all out there in terms of his training and things like that. What have you found? Because you have not been a lifelong trainer of James. Tell us how it came to be that you started training James, and what have you found about him that, you know, as a worker, et cetera?
Oh, man. He's an MVP for a reason. He's a perfectionist. Anything he does, he wants to do it to his best abilities. He works hard, and he pushes those around him. He wants to be the best. He realized he's in year 10, year 11, one of those, and he understands he has to do something different to be able to perform at the rate that he has later in his career. And one of those things is getting in the best shape, working on his foot speed, quick twitch, and having leg endurance. And those are some things that he put out for himself. So when he reached out to me through a mutual friend, I just put together a program, and we do everything that he wanted to accomplish.
You know, it's funny because I've heard that I do NFL draft stuff, and I've heard that James is a guy who's a big NFL fan. He's a guy who's watched it, and I think he's a San Francisco 49er fan, if I remember correctly. I think Joe Blank told me that. But I always thought it was interesting to watch a running back, a basketball player, you know, and then a defender, because to me it mirrors a lot of wide receiver, cornerback in terms of mirror and match and a lot of things like that. But you're telling me, for James's body type and how he plays, you see running back, not a release drill, because he's obviously quick enough in the first step. You want to work with the running back, just the twitch stuff, to make him even that much more explosive?
Exactly. And just shock his body. Most basketball players don't go through the workouts of a football player. But I don't know if you guys have played both sports or seen athletes who play both sports. The football player is usually more explosive, more physical, and faster than a basketball player. I think that's why you have guys like Allen Iverson, LeBron James, who were physically gifted. Allen Iverson, pound for pound, one of the greatest athletes and players at his size, but he also has a football background. LeBron James, pound for pound, one of the greatest ever with his size, speed, and athletic ability. And that football background has a lot to do with that. So I put together a little program with James, basically running back work, because you got to be able to get in and out of cuts. You got to be able to react quick, and you got to be able to put your foot in the ground and go. And if he continues to work on those things later in his career, it's going to allow him to play a little bit longer than what people expect. Putting himself in the best position is also key. stretching. It's just being a professional while being a professional.
Justin Allen, All In Sports, with us here on ESPN 97.5. But now, it's amazing. How can a basketball player, you're running up and down the court, that kind of training and that kind of energy that you need, how can you ever be fat like Pig Miller? I just never understood that. And yet James wasn't heavy. He's always been a thicker guy. Mm-hmm. And yet 20 pounds in just a couple of months is amazing. Is it almost impossible to lose? How much of this was diet too and everything else?
He eats well. He takes care of his body. Like I said, he's being a professional while being professional. He wants to be the best, and that's why he's been the league MVP. He's putting in the work 2-3 times a day, taking care of his body, massages, yoga, Pilates, everything that he needs to do. And the most important thing is the fuel that he puts in his body. He's mindful of that. He's constantly drinking water. He's constantly doing little things to prepare himself for when they're able to get back to the to work.
Aren't you worried a little bit about losing all that weight because he takes a pounding inside?
No, not at all. He's a physical guy. He's from LA, California. He has a nice upbringing story, and a lot of that has to do with the physical play that he plays with. So I think losing the weight won't do it. A lot of people think it may slow him down, or he might not be able to take the hits how he's been able to, but I don't think it'll change at all.
Yeah, you said something that, I've known some trainers over the years, and they explained this a long time ago, but there's just different body types. I mean, endomorphs, ectomorphs, different people wear their weight differently, and by judging someone's conditioning or what type of shape they're in or how strong they are just by, you know, the beach body look is can be a little – like James is a more barrel-chested guy. He's got a – he does have a frame that is – now you have – leaned based on the pictures we saw, you've done a good job and James has done a good job of leaning it down. But there are different body types, so sometimes it's not great just to give it the eyeball test.
No, it's not. It's not. Everybody wants you to have the chisel body, lean frame. But you got to look at it. You got guys like Zion who are big, man, and he plays – like he's a small guard. It's all about how you carry your weight and how well you can move with it. I don't get too caught up in, a receiver has to be this, a 5'10" receiver has to weigh this, or it's just like Deshaun Jackson. He's not a big guy at all. He's able to take the hits and the pounding. Manny Sanders as well. It's all about the mentality of the player. That's really what it boils down to. You can put as much weight on the guy as you want. If he's not a physical player or not able to take that pounding, he's just not going to be able to. It's all mental. A lot of people think it's just physical, but that pounding is a mental game. You're either ready for it or you're not. You're either built for it or you're not. You can't teach it.
I've seen where James was talking about Michael Jordan in The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. Is there any extra motivation you think from him? Have you guys talked about The Last Dance while he's been working out?
We had a few conversations, but of course it's Michael Jordan has motivated everyone. I've also been working with Jared Vanderbilt from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Mike has motivated him also. Him and Vanderbilt and Harden usually work out together, and they push each other. Vanderbilt's a young guy; he's got the fresh legs, and he's able to push Harden, and Harden doesn't want him to push him, so he goes even harder to show him, like, hey, you still got a long ways to go. So it's amazing to watch. It actually teaches me a lot. I learned a lot about James Harden in the month and a half or whatever we've been working. Everything that people say about him, I haven't seen any of that. He's one of the hardest workers that I've worked with, and he loves to work. If he can't get something, he's not gonna leave until he gets it. He's gonna perfect it.
I'm really interested to see if if that documentary has been something where guys just see, oh, okay, so that's how Mike used to work, and that's how his, you know, it's not like there's no athletes working hard. That's obviously not true. There's a lot of athletes working hard, but just seeing how it was done, the almost maniacal nature of how Michael Jordan tried to capture greatness, and then we have a whole documentary where we see his legacy. So his legacy, and granted, it's the legacy of the greatest player in basketball history, potentially, and we see it laid out. So I wonder if guys like James, and we're talking about superstars, if they now are thinking about legacy, because James has been around the league for a while. If all of a sudden that's something that is in his mind, and they say, you know what, I want my legacy to be different than it is right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost certain that it definitely motivated him. I don't know who it wouldn't motivate.
Right.
Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. This documentary has showed us that. He just had a different mentality. It was way beyond his peers, and he changed the era. James Harden is arguably the greatest scorer we have ever seen off the dribble, being able to shoot and come off the dribble the way he's able to create. I don't think the game has ever seen anybody able to create like James Harden has. So I think watching the Jordan has motivated him to take it to another level. But also the past years has also been a focus to get over that hump.
Justin Allen with us, All In Sports, here on ESPN 97.5, training James Harden. I would imagine that documentary is going to be good for your business, isn't it?
Hey, I hope so. we'll see if it ever comes. But I think Jordan is great for us right now.
Tell me about Last Chance U. What is so that's in your bio? Is yes, Netflix and Last Chance U? What is what's the connection there?
So I was actually on season 3 and 4, training Ronald Ollie.
Oh, that was you training Ollie.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, because you know what? It's funny. So I write up the NFL draft profiles on NFL.com, and yes, I have my last one, my 500th profile. So it's my very last one. And I said, and I watched the workout numbers. You know, I had the pro day numbers, and that's one of the things how I try to uncover guys who could get drafted or who could be NFL players, because, you know, special elite physical traits tend to stick and make it or have a better chance of making it. Ronald Ollie's workout was fantastic. I mean, he had really good workout numbers. And I said, you know what, this will be fun because he's got great workout numbers in his pro day. He's got, you know, he's a Last Chance U guy who did have some ability as well. We saw what ended up happening with him on Hard Knocks. But I was wondering what the connection was there. And I saw where Ronald Ollie was training in Houston. So I didn't realize that was you.
Yes, sir. I've been working with Ronald Ollie for about the past 3 years. He's a tremendous athlete. His work ethic, the TV show portrayed him, image of him, which is not him. Also Hard Knocks. I mean, the truth will come out eventually. I don't think I need to speak on it right now. But he's not the guy that he's portrayed to be. He was an 18-year-old kid, 17, 18-year-old kid on Netflix when he first got on there. He didn't even know that. He didn't even understand what was going to happen. So when it came out and it aired, he was like, yo, I went from having 400 followers to 100,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? He's just shocked. Like, bro, he didn't realize he was famous until he started training with me. So I took him to a football game, and I was like, I'm going to show you. You're Ronald Ollie. You got to live it, believe it. You got to change the way you look at life and everything that you do. You have to move different. And I just took the big brother role to him, put my arm around his shoulder, and that's my little brother to this day. He signed to the CFL not too long ago. But I have no doubt in my mind he'll make it back to the NFL. He has the ability to be a star player in either league. His college film shows that. His JUCO film shows that. Every time you pull him in tape, you watch him, shows that his athletic ability.
I'm not going to lie. His tape was pretty good. Where was he? Nichols? Yes, I think he was in Nichols State. His tape was actually pretty. I saw the workout numbers. I said, oh, Ronald Ollie had a nice little, you know, vert and three cone and all this. So I went 40 time, and someone turned the tape on. I was actually pretty impressed with Ronald Ollie. So, it's too bad that right now that he didn't get his shot with the Raiders. We saw what happened. He's in the CFL. We'll see what happens there. But, so it was great talking to you. Great finding out about James because, yes, there is a narrative surrounding James that probably won't end until he wins at, you know, an even higher level. But I can tell you that the work he is putting in the athletic article by Kelly Eichel and the work that you're doing with him, the work that James is doing, the work that his friends are doing with him, running the hills and in Arizona – that is that's been an eye opener for me and John. I can tell you that because that's not what we thought James was doing in the off season. And I shouldn't call this the off season; it just feels like it. But so it's great to hear that he's putting in all this work.
Most definitely. It's been exciting to work with him, and I can't wait to see the results and for them to know the real James.
Great stuff. Justin, we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Justin Allen, all A-L-L-E-N sports, all in sports. Getting James Harden ready. 20 pounds. I'm just worried about the beating. That's what I'm worried about, that he's going to be able to take a pounding inside.
I think he's still going to be bigger than you think. Like when you see James, I still think
20 pounds
James
is a lot of weight, dude.
But we saw LeBron James lose that. LeBron lost about 20,
didn't he?
Yeah, but
LeBron is 6'9", 270.
Dude, LeBron's he's 6'7", 240.
No, he's taller than 6'7".
No, he's not. LeBron's 6'7".
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably around 6'8".
Maybe
6'8",
yeah.
But, yeah, LeBron has had his body change, even just when in Miami where he was maybe
but
at
he was
his
fine
biggest.
As a lighter guy.
He got lighter in Cleveland.
LeBron's 6'9".
Yeah, LeBron's a freak.
Yeah.
We all know the deal. James is, if he's, I don't know what he was listed at before, let's say 220, 225. If he's down to 215, like even Justin wouldn't go all in on 20 pounds, but around there. Let's say James is 218 or let's say 214 or so. I think he'll be fine. I don't know what his official weight is before this all started, though. So like Lance said, you may come in and go, okay, James is leaner, but he's still a big, strong guard compared to all the other guards he's going. I think James is still going to be bullying guards.
So LeBron James without shoes, 6'0", 7'25". 6'7¼", and he has an 8. He went to the NBA combine.
LeBron's officially measured at 6'8½", thanks to new NBA rules.
Well, because they with shoes.
Oh.
The NBA rules are shoes. His combine height without shoes was 6'7", 2'5". His standing reach was almost 9 feet. Almost 9 feet standing reach. How big do you think LeBron was when he came? Now, remember now, this is when he came into the league, so he was 18. So who knows? He may have squeezed out even more
height. I don't know what LeBron's squeezing out.
He may be even taller than that.
I don't
but here's know. But LeBron, but how much do you think LeBron James weighed coming into the league? Now, granted,
250. He's probably up to
245.
Yeah.
245 coming into the league.
And at one point, he was 270.
As an 18-year-old. Yeah, but that was too heavy. And LeBron even said it. The same way that a lot of players lose weight, because I thought LeBron got too light at one point in some of the pictures, but where he plays now is good. You can't play as heavy when you're older.
No.
You can't. This is great for James to lose. You don't think it's good for him to lose a little bit of weight, James?
You know, yeah, but I never thought that James didn't have the stamina. I didn't think he didn't have the quickness. He's always been able to get by guys. I've never questioned James's his physical. That he was out of shape. Now he did come in out of shape before.
1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
So James, according to the Rockets roster to start the year, officially, even as you mentioned with the new height. Height stuff for the NBA where it's all official now. You can't fudge numbers. 6'5", 220. So it's James.
Hold on.
That's what they had him at. I'm just saying that's what they had him at. Yeah. I don't know what 6'5", official height, whatever his weight is, I don't know. That could fluctuate, I guess. So if James comes in, because if he lost let's say 16, 17 pounds, I don't know if he'll be 204.
Do you think the weight has to be? Do they have to?
I don't. It's only the height that's what they were questioning. I'm not sure about what the weight is. So let's say he's 6'5", 210. Now,
when did James come into the league?
2000.
Was it 6'7"? No,
not that long. Not that long ago.
I think it was 7'8" because he came to the Rockets in 2011.
It was probably 10 or 11 or 9, 10 or something like that.
James Harden. No, it wasn't 2000. I think he wasn't 2007. I want to say it was maybe 6'7", dude.
Well, he hasn't been in the league 13 years. He was a Pac-10 12 player of the year 2009. So he was drafted in 2009.
8, 9?
Yeah. His first NBA season was 9, 10.
2009, 2010. Yeah, this is James's
10, 11th year, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so 9, 10. How much do you think at the NBA combine?
This is his 11th year, right? Yeah.
How much do you think James Harden weighed? He was 6'4 without shoes on. 6'0", 2'5" was his. Oh no, I'm sorry. His height with shoes is here it is. His height with shoes is 6'5". And that's the height they're using. And by the way,
210 is thin now for 6'5".
What do you think James was when he came into the league weight wise? This is a real weight.
215.
222. My guess is James has been playing around 230.
Yeah, probably.
Probably 2:30.
9:18 ESPN 97.
So maybe 6'5", 212, something
210
like that.
Yeah. Would be, yeah, 210 would be on a 6'5 frame would be. Of course, then again, a lot of those guys that we're used to, maybe he's trying to get.
We're not used to James being thin, though. Maybe James has never been thin.
Maybe James is trying to get to the Last Dance weight.
Maybe he's trying. Maybe he.
Because all those players in the 90s were, they didn't carry as much weight a lot of times.
Maybe he's got a girl that he's, maybe he's got a new girlfriend he's trying to impress.
Well, I don't, not according to Justin. What was Michael Jordan's official weight at 6'6"?
Let me see if
we're talking about lean guys who were tall.
Oh, Jordan was probably, I'm guessing in the. No, coming out, my guess, I think he was in the 80s, 180 something.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, when he was playing at his height, he was probably 210, 215.
I got weight 216. Yeah. So James is probably going to be around 216 at 6'5".
He's trying to be like Mike. He's just trying to be just like Mike.
Well, everything has to be about your Chicago guy, okay? Okay, and Kobe was 212 at 6'6".
Probably trying to be Mike his whole career.
So James is shorter than those guys by a couple, by an inch and a half or so. So he'll be around that weight. So he'll still be a strong guard. I don't think we're going to be looking at Steph Curry out
so
there.
So Jordan, when he started, when the Pistons, do you remember the weight? When he got beat by the Pistons and he said, okay, this is not happening anymore. Guess what his weight was?
Probably 195.
200.
200.
And he got to 215. He had 15 pounds of muscle.
James is lost, though.
Yeah,
We'll see a guy who's about 6'5", 215, 212, something like that.
I like James is doing whatever it takes. I love that. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about right now.
713-780-3776. You're going to come by in here? Taking a little break. Don't you go anywhere.
Can we pee?
ESPN 97.
Can we pee, Dell?
Yeah.
If you have to,
can
Lance.
We do number two?
What?
I'm sorry.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Got our friend listening from Belize. Actually watching on Twitch. I guess our video stream is back. He recognized I'm wearing my Blue Water Grill hat. Shout out Blue Water Grill. I actually have a chef I met in Montreal when I was there. I texted just to see how things were going. Just wondered how they were doing in Montreal, his restaurant, stuff like that. And he reached back out, and we kind of bonded over. He recognized my name from NFL draft stuff because he's originally from Philadelphia, and his wife was in a restaurant when we were there. He saw my name in the reservations or whatever, and so I just got on the phone and we started talking the Eagles draft. Not this summer, obviously, but last summer. And so I got a business card from his wife, and there was a phone number with the chef and owner's name on it. And I texted him and said, hey, just checking in, seeing how you guys are doing, blah, 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 in Montreal. And he told me. And so now he reached back out to me to find out. So we're about to reopen, and I want to know, like, what's it like in Houston? What are restaurants doing? Can you give me insight? Can I talk to any restaurateurs or chefs about how they, how are they handling the tables? How are they handling people come in? Are they doing, checking temperatures when they come in? Everyone wants to know, everyone opening. One of the things I'm finding, I know McCool's asked me about questions about what is Houston doing? Because he has restaurants in Belize. And I think everyone wants to know what the earlier opening states, like, what are y'all's protocol and how is it working? And is it working? And what issues are you having? Because these businesses all need to come back. I mean, they've got to come back at some point, and at some point soon. And so they want to know, they're going to be reaching out to places like Houston to find out, hey, how are y'all doing it? Is it working? What's working? What's not working? Have you been out sitting down at dinner anywhere since this reopened?
You I've have? Been at Frisco's. I've been at – I went to Nick's. I went to – yesterday at Wildcat, we were sitting in the in the clubhouse.
But Nick's, what was that like, spacing wise?
Oh, Nick's, he has separated the tables plenty.
Do you take out tables, put chairs on top of the tables to?
No,
probably
I don't,
you
want
to be able to see TVs.
I think he took tables out.
Took them out.
Took them out.
What about Del Frisco's? How do they do it?
Del Frisco's, no, they didn't take any tables out. They just don't seat.
Just don't seat them.
Yep.
trying to remember if LeShane, I think LeShane took some tables out. And some of them, I've actually been in places where they have, like, for to-go stuff. I've only sat down. I was on a patio at Molina's having drinks with people from the neighborhood, with just another couple from the neighborhood.
We were at Grotto last night.
But that was when nobody was there. It was later.
We were at Grotto last night. They didn't really separate.
To-go or?
No, we sat in a bar area, one of the smaller tables, and ate there. But there was a guy that was next to us, but he was far enough away. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no, I mean.
Left the came, he coughed in your face.
No, yeah, that's it. Don't cough in anybody's face.
Yeah, try not to.
Yeah.
I told you I was at Dolce Vita and they were like, whatevs. We're closing on Sunday for good. We'll do what we want to do. Like Eric Cartman in that video. I do what I want to do.
Why is it, that's a, you want to close for good?
No, they already were.
Oh.
Because of. So I took a picture. I pretend like I was taking a picture of Nicole. And then you see the tables all the way in the background.
Yeah.
There's not really space in between those tables.
They're really, well, it's, they're just sitting regular at the bar.
Well, and the people at the bar, too.
Yeah.
But then behind them, you can kind of see the tables. And it's just table, 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 table.
Right.
I swear they were just like, I mean, we're doing whatever.
Like the Last Supper behind her.
That's because that was a family. That's a guy and his family on that. But then right next to him is this dude. Not really a lot of separation. And next to that dude is that dude.
Mm-hmm. No, all the dudes are next to each other.
And then she took another picture, and this guy was just like, just people just hanging out over by the bar. Yeah. I said, hey, I'm going outside. I'm just not going to. Feels like people here just kind of, they're like, God, I'm glad coronavirus is gone.
Well, it's gone.
This is a good thing. It's gone. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want to get what Christina, who called us earlier, a longtime listener, I don't want to get what she had.
No, I don't want that.
I don't feel like having a six-pack of Coors Light on my chest, as she described it.
Our Constable Al Rosen got it?
Did he really?
Yeah, but he said he doesn't have severe symptoms.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You want to
avoid all the big, hardcore respiratory stuff.
That's my boy, Al
Rosen.
Some people aren't
getting it as bad.
Yeah.
And that's good. I'm glad. If I get it, or somebody in my family gets it, I hope we get the Corona Light.
Yeah. Is that you want Corona Light?
They don't call it Corona Light.
Could be.
Now with less pulmonary.
What about, you don't want Corona Premier?
Will you isolate? Which premium Corona? Which parent will be isolating with the sick child of McCool's? Because I'm sure you're just going to send that kid someplace else, right?
Yeah, we just put the sick people in McCool's.
You have a second house, so are you just going to...
We're going to take food and open the door real fast and throw food in there and then close the door real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a, you know, like it's a, or a you, dog you, that we're like a rabid dog.
Or you could just have them stand away from the door.
Like a tiger cage.
Bring the food in and put it on the counter and then leave. You don't have to toss it in. They're not tigers. You can tell them to go stand someplace else.
Back!
I will shoot you some
bitch.
You pull out a pistol.
Just go Tiger King.
Gilbert is here. Let's see what's going
on. Nicole might put sardine oil on my shoes.
Oh, I could see that. What's up, Gilbert?
Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing.
Gilbert, did you hear?
Yeah.
Did you hear that I got my bike stolen?
So.
Well, that's not very sympathetic.
Yeah, good.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Gilbert, when you get your bike stolen, we try to find you another one or get you a new bicycle seat.
Ooh, are you going to get John a new bicycle?
Yeah,
are
you going to help me get a new bike? I helped you.
I got nobody to buy no bicycle anyway.
Well, I bought a bicycle and they stole it on me. You know who stole it?
No. Don't do this. Don't play this game.
I don't either. I'm asking you. Maybe Gilbert, you got some, because you usually have some info on this stuff.
Since you've experienced having your bike stolen, do you have any ideas who might have stolen John's bike?
It's a brand new bike, you know. I'll buy you one this time, you know.
Yeah. Good call.
He just ignored you.
Yep. He just ignored
JJ
you.
JJ wanted your question.
Gilbert,
he doesn't even hear you anymore.
Has anyone said, Gilbert, you're not the nicest person? Has anyone ever said that to you?
No. Gilbert, you're very nice.
They said it to John.
Huh. I would, because you didn't seem to have much empathy for John's story.
What about my bike, Gilbert?
Gilbert's had like seven bikes stolen. What does he care about your one?
Well,
why should I care about your bike, John? Why is that anyway?
Why is what?
You said, why should I care about your bike, John, anyway? Why is that anyway?
I cared about your bike. Didn't I help you get a new bike from Sun and Ski Sports? West Harbor and Green Ridge?
Yep.
Yep. Sure did.
So John has cared about when your bike is stolen. You don't think he should care that his bike was stolen?
What should I care about? You know, he got money.
That's right, Gilbert.
I got no money anyway.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, let me ask you, when would you have baseball season start again?
Gilbert just went billionaires versus millionaires on him.
He don't care. Gilbert don't care.
I don't care about these billionaire owners.
Gilbert, you don't. You let me. Somebody just asked. You haven't had the coronavirus, have you?
No.
Is that the Chinese disease? The Chinese virus?
I don't think so.
You don't think it is Chinese?
No.
What do you mean? That's where it came from, right?
No.
What do you mean? What? So you do you have it any information? We don't, you don't have any. You have information we don't have.
No.
Well, where is it? Where did this coronavirus start?
I don't know.
China. You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good day there, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Just like the Chinese government, not answering any questions and getting out.
Gilbert's like, you think I want? You want? I want that Chinese.
Well, he said he wanted to talk about the Astros, and you flipped it.
Well, he
him.
Did ask when's the season going to start, and then you asked him about the Chinese virus.
How about he doesn't care about my bike?
Well, I think we kind of knew that Gilbert didn't care very much.
Hold on.
I put him in queue to see if he would hang up, and that was him. That was him in the background.
Hold on, let me hear. I know, let me hear. Gilbert listen on a radio? Gilbert, are you listening on a radio?
He hung up.
No, he didn't hang up.
Well, he didn't hang up, but he thought, maybe we'll hear something, though. Just, there it is. No, that's you. Do you have a button?
No, I don't have a snore button. That's him.
One? That was him?
Yeah.
Gilbert?
Yeah, there it
is. He's asleep.
He can't be asleep that fast.
That's not possible. Yeah, you tape this.
Dell's not pushing anything.
He didn't say.
Wait for his hotkey to run out.
Yeah.
This is real? He fell asleep that fast?
This is him. That's not me.
What is it called? Narcolepsy?
I guess so.
Yeah, well, he could have it.
He does have narcolepsy.
He can't have narcolepsy. He can't ride a...
Oh. Hold on. Wait a minute. Something happened in
there. Yeah, but hang up the phone.
Oh, my God. That scared me. That just scared the crap out of me. I'm listening intently, and I just hear the... Ah! That was perfect.
So, no, he does. He absolutely has narcolepsy.
You think?
Lance, he dials my wife every day, and by the time the answer, this is Wendy, please leave a message, he's sleeping every day.
How can you have narcolepsy and ride a bike? You would crash all the time.
Why do you think he doesn't have a bike now?
Is that a hotkey?
No, him moaning is not. I don't have that hotkey.
Something's going on in that dream. Sleeps? Something's going on out there. I don't want to know about. Would you like to see Gilbert dreaming?
No.
I don't want to see any of y'all's dreams.
I don't want any part of it.
I don't know what he's doing in that dream.
Well, it's not very peaceful, so it doesn't sound like it.
Nope. Sounds like there's some action going on.
I don't want to be part of that action. Like I will record this. No, this is him.
This is him now. He didn't hang up? I thought he was saying
goodbye. I thought he was done. And
he always says goodbye. Oh, God.
We're talking over the bones.
I don't want to hear this. This is scaring me. Something's going to happen.
What does this show come to? We sitting and listening.
Other people, if you want other people to call in, then we wouldn't do this. We're running out of fuel.
Gilbert. Let's see. Let's see where this dream takes us.
To Dallas with Debbie.
I have a feeling you're right. I think that's the last film he's watched.
This segment's going to win some awards. It
really is. Did you see that 4th and 15 onside kick is still on the table?
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. And you just did the rule for pass interference that's going to end up being a one-year deal. Why not give this a shot? Honestly, why not give it a shot?
But so Sky Judge looks like it's out, though. Sky Judge is probably out.
Meaning a separate eye in the sky.
An eye in the sky that can call down and say, no, we got a problem here.
Why? Why is that out?
I don't have
That's
any
what college
idea.
Football
it seems like
does.
To me, it seems to me that would be a perfect.
Can somebody explain to me why college and pro football are so different in terms of their basic rules and when to stop the clock and when to start? Now, college football has tightened it up. a little bit because college football is way out of control. But they've but there's not. I don't understand 15-yard penalty in pro in college football. It's spotted the foul in pro football. Why are the penalties different? Why are there differences like
which
that?
Which one is better?
Well, so I don't love the fact that NFL defensive backs will just grab and hold. But you know what? Is there any difference between that and basketball when somebody grabs a guy and won't let you shoot a layup and you have to earn it from the free throw line? It's something that's similar. An intentional walk doesn't allow you to have your swings. You could make an argument for a 15-yard. I would say if people weren't so – see, the real answer is you can say the longest penalty you can have is 25 yards. Then people will say, oh, I don't like that because that, why don't you like it? Well, it's not what we're used to. That's exactly – it's like my kids eating new food. The only argument people have with baseball being too long, what's your argument to shorten the season? It's just records, the stats. You don't have good reasons. There's no good reasons. A pass interference penalty shouldn't be 50 yards, ever.
Ever.
It should never be 50. But then again, 15 might not be long enough. So make it a different number. Why do we have to have – I've done this with PDs before. Okay, what time does the radio show start? What if we said, okay, our radio show starts at 7:30, for example? You can't do that. Why? It's not top of the hour. That's a random time, top of the hour. You think people go, okay, wait a minute now. I'm getting in my car. I got to wait for it. Top of the hour before I get in my car. No, you get in your car at whatever time gets you to your work. But we just get used to certain things like that. Dinner's at lunchtime. We open at 11 o'clock. Why? Open at 10 for lunch. Because I'm hungry.
Well, because he's off at
10. It has to be 11. Wait, it has to be 11. Open at 10, dummies. Look,
as long
you could get a lot of people who get off at 10.
Who gets off at 10?
Right. Sometimes people want to go to lunch early. They want to get out of their job early and go to lunch.
They could just get in at 9, but they're not interested.
Oh, really? What about now when people are working from home? They can go eat lunch whenever they want.
But they don't. They eat at noon.
Because we are lemmings being led to the slaughter of 11 o'clock
you're the
lunches
only
and 12.
One. You're,
why not 10
you're,
o'clock lunches?
You would be, you're the
free yourself
you'd
from
be
the
a
matrix.
Terrible lobbyist.
Yeah. Free
you
yourself
go to
from
Washington
the matrix.
And no one wants this.
Sorry I'm unplugged, Dell. Sorry I'm unplugged from the matrix,
well,
and I can go eat at
you know,
10,
it's
12.
It's better that you're doing this as opposed to what I'm watching right now. Some lady was in a line looking, and apparently the line's very long in this drive-thru, and she's yelling, and people, and the person who's the drive-through person's like, sorry, we're short-staffed. Can you please hold on? We'll get to you as soon as possible. She goes, I want my burger, you effing N-word.
No.
She said that?
No, she did.
Yes, she did.
Dell loves and stuff.
I know he does.
I mean.
He loves that.
And I don't
and
like
then
that.
Someone in front of her goes, like these. This line is like 8 deep or whatever. Someone looks back and goes, did you just say the N-word? She goes, no, I didn't say the N-word. I'm just effing hungry. I want my effing burger. Hurry up, please. Hurry up. And then some later goes, I'm sorry about the N-word. I can't help myself sometimes.
She said all this?
Yes.
I can't help myself sometimes.
Well, she did apologize, so I don't think she should be canceled.
Well thankfully, she said.
Canceled.
I can't help myself sometimes.
You know,
so she's acknowledged that she says this word quite a bit.
One thing I've noticed is it really doesn't matter if you're black or white. If you start acting stupid in fast food, somebody's gonna go, better get the phone out, start recording.
Yeah.
Fast food craziness is the craziest craziness. Yeah. I mean, especially if you include, I wouldn't call it fast food, but if you include IHOP or Waffle House, then it takes it to, that's Florida level crazy a lot of times. But McDonald's is probably the all-time king. I've seen some stuff jump off of McDonald's videos that I thought, this can't be real life.
No.
Like when the big girl comes out and starts ragdolling the girl who, some girl did something to the big girl who worked there who she shouldn't have.
Because
she found out why there's weight classes real quick.
All right, 943 ESPN 97.9 to 44 now. 713-780. Is Gilbert still snoring? What's your?
Nah, he's off,
Gilbert. He's off?
Gilbert, hang up the phone.
Well, there he is. Taking a break. We'll see if he's. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to see if Gilbert will still be snoring on the other side.
ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ocho Texto says, ha ha, Gilbert checkmated y'all. John.
He always does.
Why should I care Gilbert, about
I
your
mean,
bike
how many
anyway?
Times now has Gilbert outsmarted us? Let's see, where is he? Let's see. Is he there? There he is. There he is. That is amazing. Gilbert, hang up the phone. I'm surprised that doesn't wake him up when you do that.
I know if I heard my mother yelling at me like that, I would.
Gilbert, hang up the phone.
We haven't reset this since, like, the first episode. Can you... I want to bring out J.J. Watt's comments about... The first segment of the show, which was a while back. J.J. Watt, for whatever reason, the Texans have been making players available and coaches available through... Well, I guess because that would be the OTA schedule. No, not even OTAs yet. We're in May. Well, mini-camps. OTAs, yeah. OTAs, and then you have mini-camps.
I think let's stay relevant. Let's do some interviews. Let's make sure people are still talking about the Texans.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
No, it's not a bad idea. Hey, we saw Anthony Weaver. We saw Tim Kelly. We saw Bill O'Brien. We've seen... Yeah.
So J.J. Watt was asking... So he was asked a variety of questions. Standard garden... I thought it would be a garden variety interview. But Adam Wexler, our old friend, asked a very pointed question to J.J. Watt about what makes Bill O'Brien such a good coach or something, which I thought was...
I think he said great coach.
Yeah, leading the witness. I thought... if this were in a court of law, I think there would have been objections for, you know, some of the wording that Adam Wexler had.
Asking the witness to speculate.
Your Honor, he continues to put words into our client's mouth that are not his own words. So here was Adam Wexler's question, and listen to J.J. Watt not only dance around the answer that maybe Adam was hoping for or was curious to see if he would get, he starts to answer other questions that aren't even asked.
It's what everybody does, their own job, coaching staff, general manager, all those things. But you see what's going on. You're on social media a lot. You know what the feeling is about any offseason, and DeAndre Hopkins gets moved away. Bill, you're there on the inside. What makes Bill O'Brien a good head coach? He's got two new play callers with him. It's a little bit different role. What makes him good at leading this team?
I think his job is to do just that, is to lead the team, is to obviously he's more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy, so it's to lead the overall team, but then to lead the offense, and now with his other roles as well, is to general manage, is to do everything within the organization. That's his role, and I think that's what obviously he excels at. So in terms of the internet fans and things like that, I mean, I see everything just like you see everything. I mean, my head's not in the sand. I know exactly what's going on in the world, and I think that, you know, when I first got here, my first few years in the league, that's when we went to the playoffs for the first time ever. We won our first playoff game, and it was unbelievably exciting. I mean, the fans were just, it was incredible. I mean, the energy, the excitement, the passion, just everything was there. And I think that our fans have that passion. They have that excitement. They want to put it into this team and this organization. And I think that we have to win. I think that's what it comes down to, is winning cures that. Winning is what brings with it. And I understand the fans want to get past what we've gotten past. I want to get past what we've got, where we've been. That's the whole goal. That's literally why I wake up, go work out, put in the time, put in the effort, put my body through this. I mean, if that wasn't my goal, I wouldn't keep doing this after these injuries.
So that was an interesting answer. I don't stick my head in the sand. I know what's going on. He didn't say, you know, well, obviously he's an offensive coach, so he doesn't know that much defense. And then what he does is general manager. That's what he excels at. Okay, that was a compliment. He basically says that this is that the Texans are in a different place than they were when this city was crazy about them in 11 and 12.
Well, they are.
They are.
It's palpable. You can tell.
No, and that you would admit that it, you know, that there is that realization. There's a self-awareness about what the Texans are right now. And Bill O'Brien has changed that. Bill O'Brien has because Bill O'Brien wasn't here when Texan fandom was at its peak in 11 and 12. That was Gary Kubiak. And, you know, since then, and what the way Bill O'Brien handles himself, the way Bill O'Brien rules with an iron fist, the way that Bill O'Brien screws up and with his trades and picks and everything else that he and his paying of players and everything else, there is a I think he's admitting there's a general disdain right now for this organization.
Well, and the other thing is, JJ's not a stupid guy. I think that players aren't stupid. Players probably understand Bill O'Brien to coach is one thing. Bill, I'm pretty sure they feel like there should be a coach and a GM, and one guy shouldn't have both roles.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult to do one of those roles. To try to do both, not many coaches who have performed as general managers have had much success at all. Shoot, even I would go so far as to say Bill Belichick has Nick Caserio in that role. He's had John Robinson. Is it John Robinson? Yeah, John Robinson in that role. He has had a variety of very smart people. Bill O'Brien has a guy who's a former pastor. I'm not saying he can't become something much, much better, but he has no background. He does character checks on players. He's like a character coach. I'm not saying Jack Easterby can't become more than that. It's possible, obviously, to learn, but not to be the Nick Caserio of the Texans. I'd be shocked if he has the ability to see organizations like Nick Caserio, who's come up in the organization like that. And so, who are you going to tell me who's been good at being a head coach and general manager? What guy in NFL history? I know who wasn't good at it was who came after, I think, Mike. Okay, let's see. You had, what was his name that went from San Francisco to the Carolina Panthers?
Seifert?
George Seifert. Not good at it.
No.
Not good at it when he had that. And who else has done it before? Oh, from the Packers. Who went to Seattle?
Holmgren.
And Mike Holmgren was, right? Mike Holmgren also had that, I think, before.
Parcells wanted it.
But then he was also there with Ted Thompson or Ron Wolf. So maybe.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it was a decision about who had control of the 53.
Yeah.
Because I remember Holmgren having a lot more power. Because Holmgren came on in 2001 draft to talk about Jeremy Stevens, a tight end, who they ended up drafting after another tight end that they wanted. They tried to trade back and get Slick, and somebody came ahead of them and got the tight end they wanted. And I remember it was Holmgren they were talking to on the TV about it. Like, oh, we like Jeremy Stevens a lot. He's a really good player. Arrested.
Criminal. Hope Solo person. That to me was pretty telling about that there actually is some self-awareness going on Kirby. That I don't know that Cal has it. I'm almost positive Cal doesn't. I'm almost positive Cal doesn't realize he can't possibly realize the feeling that this city has for Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe it. He's 100% behind this guy. They've brainwashed him, or they're worm tonguing him in his ear.
Worm tonguing him.
Yeah. There's something going on.
See him work in his thing, Del? He worked in his Middle Earth thing, his worm tonguing.
Yeah. Yeah. He worm tongue. And Cal is hypnotized and under some kind of a Bill O'Brien spell. There is no other explanation because he can't. There's absolutely no way that he knows, because otherwise he would have to step in and go, wait a minute, what the hell are we doing here? Wait a minute, what are we? He can't believe that Bill O'Brien has gotten good value, that he's made good money decisions. He can't believe that this is the case now. I'm gonna wait and see. Bill O'Brien said that during their roundtable. It wasn't a public forum. It was a roundtable, and Bill O'Brien said, "You know what? Let's just wait and see before everybody makes judgment on it." I've got a feeling that this offense is going to be pretty good. So whether or not they're on their way to any championships, no, they're not. Not when you throw away all draft picks. You're not going to have any players that are actually performing above their contracts. You're going to have zero players. Justin Reed, after they paid Deshaun, Justin Reed is going to be the only player that's outplaying his contract.
Yeah.
The only one.
That's the problem. You can't have that. Like, that's why you've got to balance your payday guys and your transitional guys. Because even good players, I mean, we saw it. Look, one of the things I didn't love about Rick Smith is that so many second-rounders were gone. But, you know, when I was honest with myself, there were some of those guys that I wasn't crazy about Connor Barwin getting a lucrative second contract. I felt like he was really good in 11 with
Well, but
Ray
you
Phillips.
Can be angry about that because they didn't make good choices, though.
What do you mean?
There's so many second and third and fourth and fifth. Where is that? Dwayne Brown, after like 3 years in the league, was the only guy from that draft left that was playing football. I mean, so it's not that, well, you don't want to give them a second contract. They weren't even in the league. Those are poor choices that they made.
Well, but they did have, like, Brooks Reed was a second rounder. Connor Barwin was a second rounder. Both of those guys were really good in 2011, right? And in 2012, they weren't quite as good as is the case with a lot of times Wade Phillips' defenses. Great his first year, not quite as good his second year. And I just thought they were products of the system to an extent. I didn't think they would go out there and whip an individual blocker on a consistent basis. There are a lot of twisting and movements to the defense. And I felt like they rushed as a unit, and JJ was the really special one. And there were times Antonio Smith, you know, could be tough to block. But I, you know, on paper, it's like, why in the world can the Texans not, why are they not keeping any of their second rounders? D'Amico Ryans ended up leaving. You ended up having, not only D'Amico left, second rounder. You had, now he was coming off an Achilles. D'Amico left, second rounder. Brooks Reed, second rounder. You had Connor Barwin, second rounder. There was a run there where Eric Winston left. He was a third rounder. Where they didn't keep their core together, and they could have. But then, you know, the flip side of that is, what kind of contract are you going to give a guy if you think he's part of a system as a part of an individual making? Those are tougher, and I recognize that even at the time. Those are tougher calls for Rick Smith and Gary Kubiak and whoever the other decision makers were.
That's great. And this,
like, you want Bernardrick McKinney,
this,
right?
This organization, yeah, I guess. But I'd rather have Zach Cunningham.
But you'd rather have both.
Yeah, ideally, but you know what? You can't afford both.
But you used to be able to.
But you're
to,
not going
to
be able to.
But you can now because of quarterbacks.
Because, well, here's why. It's because you use your first and second rounder, first, second, and another first on a left tackle that's going to make more over these 3 years than those guys would have paid. You would have paid those guys for their full 15 years combined. You would have paid this guy more in 3 years than you would have paid them for their first contracts, those three guys. So, and oh, by the way, those guys may be good football players that are actually outplaying their contract. When you give every single guy money and overpay them, then you can't have any young guys that are going to perform. Now, we'll see if Russ Blacklock, hopefully.
Well, the middle class is eliminated.
Right. Well, no, the younger class is eliminated.
What do you mean younger?
Name all the young guys that are going to be on the field this year. Name all the young guys first contract's going to be on the field this year.
But you're trading away first-round picks and, in some cases, second-round picks. It's harder for third. There's not a big, deep, rich history of
third. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to have any first and second-rounders.
No, and that's going to be the biggest problem is you don't have cheap labor coming in, relatively cheap, based on first and second-round picks.
Howard Sharping. Fuller's coming up at the end of his. Mm-hmm. Of his deal. Justin Reed. Blacklock will probably be on the field and playing. Who are
you? You mean of your talented players?
Of your guys Zach that are Cunningham. Contributing. Zach Cunningham's coming up at the end, too.
Yeah, but for this year.
Yeah, for this year.
No, Zach
and Deshaun.
Zach was drafted the same year as Deshaun, I think.
And it's coming on the end. This
or
is it.
Was he? Because you had to give up. It was a future second rounder he gave up.
Yeah, no, so they got to sign him. Yes, they need to sign him.
So it's 2017, 18, 19. This will be 20. Oh, he wasn't a first rounder.
No, he wasn't a first rounder. This is last year. They're both in their last year.
Ooh, wee.
So.
You got to sign Zach Cunningham.
You got to sign Zach. So that's where guys are making.
Good thing is it's a pandemic, so Zach will be forced into a contract that's a terrible contract for him. How's that going to work? Honestly, with the football related income dropping, how's it going to work for a guy like Zach Cunningham whose contract comes up and they say, well,
how's it gonna,
I'm sorry, but we don't have salary cap?
Well, how's it going to work for Deshaun when he's going to make 40? How's it going to work?
Well, he takes a reduction percentage wise down. What about when you're trying to sign a contract
what do you
and
mean?
The numbers
he's
that
a
low?
He ain't taking no reduction percentage wise.
Well, if he were to sign one right now, yeah, every player will have to.
No, he's going to wait.
No, but you don't get that amount guaranteed when the cap drops like that. You'd have to cut so many players that you can even fill the team.
What are you talking about? If you put a franchise tag on him, he gets the he's going to get
if if he waits, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, why would you not wait?
I don't
know
how that's going to work. I'm going to ask an agent about that because why would you wait? You don't want to wait until the cap drops with no it's going to make it harder to sign.
Watch. Did he get Lance? There's nothing in there about taking a percentage less. He's going to get the average of the top five guys in the league and the top five quarterbacks in the league.
Well, you'll have to cut every. Then Zach is done. Zach Cunningham has to leave.
Thanks. There's a lot of guys that are going to have to
leave. No, this drop is going to. I don't know how that's going to work. How are you going to do franchise?
No.
I bet it's going to be franchise of what the new number is. They're going to have to reassess a new number because if you're already making, let's say
there's no new number in the collective bargaining agreement.
No.
It's an average of the top five guys.
But your pay is based on percentage of income. So when that stuff drops, let's say it drops by 20%.
No, your team pay is percentage of income.
But your salaries are going to have to drop with it too.
Good
you
luck
don't
with
think?
That. Nope. Nope.
How are they going to have an overlay of $50 million? How do you think owners are going to be?
Figure it out. I signed a contract for this amount
of
money.
What's going on with
then cut me?
Then the J.C. Treader stuff, you better pay attention to it because what's happening in baseball right now? How's that going?
Well, guess what? They ain't going to play.
Well, I don't know how this is going to work then.
Nope. 10:03 ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.